All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. For the sake of time, I'm only going to read one verse. One verse, verse 12. Of the first chapter, 1 Timothy. All right, verse 12 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." All right, let me read it once again. "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." All right, let's pray, and then I want to speak to you for a little while tonight on this subject, being thankful for a place to serve. Being thankful for a place to serve. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for the Word of God and that we have the opportunity to open your Word, and I pray that you will bless richly tonight. I pray you'll help me as I speak. I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen. And Father, I pray that you will encourage all of our hearts. I am going to say some things to hopefully encourage Jonathan, and I pray that you will bless him. I pray that all of us will take it upon ourselves to hold him before your throne of grace as we pray. And Father, just give us a great service for your honor, for your glory, and that the name of our Savior will be exalted, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen. When I graduated from Bible college, I was so excited because I was about 2 months, 2.5 months or so, going to get married to my wonderful sweetheart down here. And I was going into a full-time ministry as a youth pastor in an exciting church. Now, I was thrilled about all that. I mean, it was just, everything was just laid out in front of me, and I thank the Lord for it every single day. Now, some of the fellows that I graduated with did not have a ministry that was waiting on them. And they would say something to the effect that, wow, you are so lucky to have a place to serve. And I did not see it at all as lucky. I don't look at the world through good luck and bad luck. I just don't. I never have. You're either in God's will or you're not in God's will, all right? So God's either blessing you or God's putting you through a test or a trial of some kind, or God is not blessing you, all right? But there's no such thing as good luck and bad luck. We don't get up and toss the coin in the morning to see how our day is going to turn out. You don't go to the horoscopes in the newspaper to see how your day is going to turn out. We just don't do that as Christians. Right here is the best roadmap for your life. If you just get in the Bible and follow the Word of God, your day is going to work out just fine for you. All right? So my friends would say, man, you're lucky. I never saw it that way. As far as I was concerned, luck had absolutely nothing to do with it. It was all through the mercy and the wonderful hand of the Lord blessing and opening a door of opportunity for me and for Karen to serve him. Now, I have never, even for a second, believed that God's people live in the realm of good luck or bad luck. You'd be best off just not to go there as a believer in Christ. Now, 6 months into that position as a youth pastor in that church, and to be honest with you, he didn't want me to do anything with the young people. He hired me to be the youth pastor, but he didn't want me doing anything with the young people. I think that's because two reasons. Number one, right up until that time, his wife had been the youth pastor. She had run the youth group, all right? And she was not too keen on anybody taking her spot, I later found out. About 3 days into the job, I found out. All right. So he had to come up with other things. My honest opinion was he hired me to sing bass in the church quartet. All right. That's what I really think happened. Because we ended up singing every Sunday, at least one song every Sunday. We were basically the special music in the church. And so the church had this huge camp ministry. They had every summer hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of campers come through from all over the South. Churches would bring their young people to the camp that they had, and it was a nice camp. All the cabins were air conditioned, and were all in just wonderful shape, and the food was tremendous because he raised. He had like 400 acres, I think, and he raised all the meat that was eaten at the camp. So the kids really enjoyed that, you know, Friday night steaks before you go home on Saturday morning. Kids remember that. Yeah. I ended up, instead of being the youth pastor, being the farmhand. All right. I strung barbed wire for the fences, and I became the camp hired hand, if you will. I fed cattle, and I brushed and washed down horses, and I washed his truck and his cars and his wife's car and his two daughters' cars, and I painted, and I used the weed eater at least three times a week, it seemed like. Driving the tractor and clearing brush and all this other stuff he had me doing. I cut and split firewood regularly all the time. And I just realized that one day that, you know, I could have not gone to college and done this. You know, I could have not gone to college and been qualified to do what I was doing for him. And so that's when I decided that Karen and I were going to move on. So we did. And I thought, well, here's now, what am I going to do? So what I did was got in touch with Baptist Mid Missions and ended up starting a church from scratch. Now, as I've told you before, I sent out all these letters trying to raise support, but back 48 years ago, home missions was not popular at all. And nobody wanted to support a young man coming out of Bible college going to start a church in a town that needed a church. And nobody was interested in helping us. So Karen and I just made the decision, we will go and we will start the church ourselves and just trust God to provide and take care of us. And now 48 years have passed, Jonathan. 48 years has passed. And every day I thank the Lord for the places where He has placed me to serve him. And 30 years now, at the end of this next month, into November, 30 years here at the Church of the Open Door. Now, there's not a day go by that I don't thank the Lord for allowing me to be the pastor of this great church. I mean, I think about that every day of my life, thanking the Lord that he enabled me and put me into the ministry. I thank God for it. And I'm sure that as time goes on and you see how God works in your life, that you're going to be thankful for the place where God gives you to serve as well. You know, it is a blessed privilege as a young man for you to have this given in your lap to work right out of college in this church. I want you to understand that. It is a great privilege for you to have this opportunity. You get to learn from some of the best. You get to learn from some of the best. You really do. And you will. You will learn. You'll watch. You're already watching what Pastor Josh does. You're already getting a good idea of what the bus ministry is about. And you've already, I'm sure, understood that everything that we do in the Church of the Open Door has soul winning on the front burner. Everything we do. And so you have the blessed privilege to be here and be a part of this. And I'm telling you, it may not seem like all that big a deal right now, but in a few years, if the Lord tarries his coming and God works in your heart and calls you to go pastor a church somewhere, you are going to be 10,000 times more prepared than any of your friends. That's right. That's exactly right. And so I just thank the Lord that the Lord has given us the opportunity to be a part of your training into the ministry. Now, tonight we ordained Jonathan Oberbeck into the gospel ministry. Do you know what that means? That means from henceforth, now and forevermore, we call him Pastor Oberbeck. You got that? Pastor. Pastor Jonathan. How's that sound? They said, what do you want me to call? What do you want us to call you when I came here 30 years ago? What do you want us to call you? You want to be called doctor? I said, no. No, I earned the degree, but I don't want to be the doctor, you know? I want to be the pastor. And so everybody, I said, call me Pastor Norris. And everybody does, except for Dave Brown and Rick Holbrook, all right? Rick Holbrook, he's got more synonyms for me than you could shake a stick at. But here's the point, brother. Here's the point. I trust you realize that the Lord has blessed you and opened this door where you could serve him in the Church of the Open Door. I hope you see that blessing and see that the way a fellow with 50 years almost of experience sees it. And I'm telling you right now, God's got his hand on you, or you wouldn't be here. All right? So you keep that forefront in your mind, all right? Now, we have had dozens of young men go through this ministry, and God has called them to preach. And while the Lord has allowed us to retain some, most of them have been led of the Lord to another ministry somewhere. That's fine. That's fine. But in God's grace and in God's goodness, He has so led in your life that you become a part of the ministry of the Church of the Open Door, teaching the Bible and working in the bus ministry to see young boys and girls and teenagers and moms and dads come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And I'm just glad that the Lord has brought you to us. So I think you are a thankful person from what I can gather from you. I think you are a thankful individual, and I don't think you'll take lightly this calling that God has given you. Now, on behalf of the church, we as the church need to start praying for the Lord to keep His hand on Jonathan. We need to pray that the Lord will bring him a wife. All right? Yeah. A completer. He's incomplete right now. But he needs to be complete. All right? So y'all pray about that. All right. Now, let's notice this verse, this 12th verse, and let me just give you a couple quick things about serving in the Lord's ministry. First of all, out of verse 12, notice the enabling for service. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at your Bible. Look at verse 12. He said, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me." Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And Paul says that the Lord enabled him for the ministry that God called him to do. You see, God never calls a man into the ministry without enabling him. He always enables the one that He calls. For example, if a man says, "Well, I think the Lord has called me into the role of being a music pastor somewhere," and yet that fella can't read music, has never had a music lesson in his life. He sings in the shower and the water quits running. You know? Well, that's a pretty good indication that, you know, he might have missed his calling right there. You know, if a man says, "God wants me to be a youth director," and he's 112 years old, you know, that man has probably missed his calling. You see the point? So God enables. He enables. The Lord is the one who calls into the ministry, and the Lord is the one who enables us to do what He calls us to do. I have wondered why the Lord permitted me to get kicked out of college my senior year. Now, you say you got kicked out of college. Yes, my senior year. Wait a minute, it gets better. I got kicked out of Bible college my senior year, in October of my senior year. You say, "Well, what'd you do, shoot somebody?" Nope. "Would you get in a fight?" Nope. Nope. Here's what I did. I found out that some people went off campus to a bar, and I didn't turn them in. That's what I did. I did not turn these people in. And so page 16 of the rule book down at the bottom on the right-hand side, it says, if you know something and you don't tell, you know, it's like the military. You know, if you don't tell, then you get the same punishment as the people who broke the law. And so I got called in, and all these faculty kids were lying. No, I wasn't there. And the guy that told me about it was in senior study hall the night before, that very night that they all went off campus. And he came in study hall, and it was just the two of us in senior study hall that night. And I'm sitting there because I grew up around drinking, and I know what it smelled like. And I could smell it, and I looked up. I said, "Tim." He looked up at me, and he was so drunk. He was so high, he didn't even know where he was. And I said, "Are you kidding me?" And he said, "Norris, please don't tell. And I said, "Bro, you're going to get caught. You can't hide something like this." "How many people were with you?" 16. I said, you're dead. You don't know it yet, but you're a dead man walking. And sure enough, next morning, word had already gotten out. And they all got called into the dean of men's office. And all the faculty brats lied about it. They lied about it. "Oh, no, I wasn't there." And so the dean looked at me and he said, "Were you there?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "But you knew about it." "Yes, sir." "Well, when did you know about it?" I said, "About 11:05 last night." He said, "Well, why didn't you run up here and tell somebody?" I said, "Because you get your teeth kicked in for less than that where I come from. You just don't go ratting on people." And so he said, "Well, you know, they're going to get expelled, and so are you." "What?" "Yeah, you're going to get expelled." And I did. They kicked me out of school. And I wondered, why in the world did I have to go through that? I sat out from October until the next September. I was not supposed to be allowed back until January of the second semester of the next year. But I went back, called them. I said, I don't have all my life to mess around with you people. Let's go." And so they let me back in. And I'm telling you, the devil attacked me. You ought to just quit. It's going to be like this every step of the way. You just might as well give it up. And I seriously thought a number of times about just saying, "That's it. I'm done. I'm just not go finish school." And it would have been so easy to quit and to go another direction. It would have been so easy. And I can stand here today and look back to the many, many times in 50 years almost where I have wanted to quit, especially younger. I don't really think that way anymore. But years ago, where I wanted to just quit, but I never have. I've resigned several times, but I just don't quit. Does that make sense to you? You see, when the Lord calls, He enables. And I think that's why, looking back at it, I think that's why the Lord made me go through that. They said, "Oh, it builds character." Well, if it did, I didn't know it. But evidently it did, because I stuck with it. I went down and checked in, and my card said, "This is my starting the senior year over again, and I checked in. There was a little slip attached to my card. It said, go to the Dean of Men's office immediately. Immediately. And so I went to the Dean of Men's office, and when I walked in, Dean Liverman stood to his feet. He said, Norris, I can't tell you how proud I am of you. I looked at him and said, I can't tell you how many times I wanted to quit. He said, oh, I can imagine, but you didn't. You didn't. I said, no, I haven't quit, and I'm not going to quit. And he said, well, I want you to know that you're on probation. I was 21 years old, had my own car, couldn't drive it. Couldn't go off campus without written permission and somebody with me. And so when he told me all that, I looked him square in the eye and I said, now I'm quitting. And he smiled and he said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I said, all right, I'll see if I can stick it out. So I stuck it out. I couldn't play sports, which killed me. So I went to his office one day about a week after school started. Soccer practice was that evening. I walked in and he said, how you doing? I said, I have a problem. Oh, well, we can't have that. What's your problem? And I said, well, I'm on this probation stuff and I can't play soccer. Oh, well, I can fix that, he said. And he pulled and wrote me out permission to play soccer for the rest of the season. I thought, wow, that was easy. Didn't even have to argue. So about a week later, I got a job offer. I mean, I'm only taking 12 hours because I was on every kind of probation known to man. And so, I mean, that was like four classes, you know? That was like four classes. I had free time galore. So what did I do? Marched back up there. I said, Dean, I got this offer to work. And y'all got me taking 12 hours. I could do that in my sleep. And you got me taking 12 hours. How about you just let me work for the phone company? They offered me a good job. And he said, well, how often is it? And I said, well, it's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Thursday, and it's Friday. Well, how many hours? I said, 4 hours a night. Oh, yeah, you can do that. Reached in his pocket and wrote it out and handed it to me. So now I got to go off for work. Well, a couple of weeks later, one of my roommates wanted to know, he couldn't find a ride to an extension group. It goes off to another church. And so he said, hey, why don't you go talk to your best friend in the world and ask the dean if he'll let you be my driver? And I said, well, yeah, let's do that. So I went up to the dean's office and he's, why, sure. Yeah, go ahead. So I was on probation, but really I wasn't on probation. And I think that was God's reward for not quitting. And you know, when your house gets egged, which ours has been several times, when your mailbox gets destroyed, you know, when you get death threats, oh yeah. I went to apply for a handgun permit, and the guy said, why do you need a permit? And I said, well, Second Amendment, duh. He smiled and said, no, I mean, why do you need to carry a gun? He said, have you ever received a death threat? And I said, well, Donnie told me you'd be asking about if I'd had any death threats, so I just happened to have brought a couple with me. So I took three or four of them, laid them on his desk, and he stood there and read them and said, wow. And before I left, he stamped that I was getting a gun permit. And 3 days later, it came in the mail. But I didn't quit. And I'm not going to quit. And Jonathan, my point to you is this. I don't care what the devil throws at you, and he will throw stuff at you. But don't you quit. Don't you dare quit. You just look him square in the eye and tell him, go on back where he came from and leave you alone. Resist the devil and he'll flee. He'll flee. You see the point, my friend? You see the point? And we've got to just stay with it. I had a man call me one day and he said, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to whip you. And I said, well, that's not nice. And I hung up the phone and Karen said, who was that? And I told her and she, what do you want? And I said, well, he said he's going to come over here and whip me. And she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't know yet. He hadn't come yet. So I walked out, went out to the little outbuilding that we had at the end of the driveway, and I looked around in there. There was a golf club, and so I set that golf club where if I had to get to it, I could get to it real quick. And I stood there and I waited, and I thought, well, he only lives about 5 minutes away. Well, 5 minutes went by, and he wasn't there. So I walked down the end of the driveway and looked up the road, didn't see him coming. And I thought, well, now what? I got to be looking over my shoulder all the time. But he never did show up. Thank the Lord. He didn't show up. I had only been saved about 6 years. And if he wanted to fight, I would have been in with it. I'd have been down with it, me and my golf club. Yeah, I could drive him about 40 yards down the fairway. But thank God he never showed up. You see, you're going to get called out. If you faithfully preach the Word of God, you're not going to be popular. Sorry. But don't quit. All right? So here's what I want you to take from this service tonight. Don't quit. Never. As long as God gives you breath, you just keep serving Him. And He'll protect you and He'll bless you. But God enables and He'll enable you. And He already has. There's fruit, there's evidence in your life already, and thank the Lord for it. But Jonathan thanked the Lord for a place to serve. Paul did. I'm standing here tonight. I'm thankful. And I know all these guys are thankful. And you be thankful too. We serve a great God, and He'll never let you down. Promise you that. All right, let's pray. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm sure that the devil has maybe whispered in somebody's ear and said, you know, you ought to just quit. You ought to just give it up. Hey, Christian, don't quit. You got your Sunday school class. You got your ministry. You got your bus route. You got your bus captain's position. You have the nursery. Look at the blessing that God has placed in your lap. You get to trust Him to use you in those ministries. Oh, thank God for it. Thank God for it. And just let the Lord bless you in ways you never even thought possible. Father in heaven, I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight. And Father, I want to pray for Jonathan. We just thank you for him and for his dedication and his desire to want to serve you. And Father, I pray that you'll just grab a hold of his heart and get him grounded and settled in your word. And I pray that you'll use him in a mighty way. Don't let the devil discourage him. I know that there will be times when he'll be discouraged, but Father, I pray that you'll help him to remember tonight and just never quit. So bless him. And Father, for all our folks who serve, thank you for each one. And thank you for what they do. And I pray that you'll continue to bless your people as they serve you here in this church. So bless, Father. We need your hand of blessing. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.